One more time. Amen. Amen. One more time. It'll always be fitting. Amen. And when you do it that time, just praise Him one more time. Amen. He's always been by my side when the valley was low, the river was wide, and the mountains were high, and the times were dark. Standing somewhere in the shadows, I've always found Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 1 tonight. We'll be back in Ephesians chapter 1. Praise God. Boy, it's good to be a child of God, ain't it? Praise God. Amen. I really just don't see how the world makes it without Him. I don't see how the world makes it. And the fact is, they don't make it. They don't make it. That's it. They're just existing, just floating through life, just here, no real purpose. And at the end of this life, there will be nothing left. It's all going to burn up. It's all going to burn up. But I thank God we have a hope that is steadfast and sure. And we sung that song that we are looking for a land that is fairer than day. Amen. And by faith, I can see it afar. Amen. I can't see it with my physical eye, but by faith, I can see it on out there. I know it's out there. And that's where I'm headed. Praise God. That's where you're headed if you're saved. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1. I'll not ask you to stand. We've stood a lot tonight already. But I want to preach to you the message the Lord's put on our heart. And just try to mind the Lord. We kind of minded the Lord this morning and didn't get all the way through our notes. But you always get all the way through the message. I believe that. I mean, if you're following the Lord and going on His leadership, I believe, you know, sometimes you don't get through your outline, you don't get through your notes, but you might get through the message, you know, and just give exactly what God wants. And when you get as far as God wants you to go, just unhook right there and pick up where you left off. Amen. So that's what we're going to do tonight. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 13. We'll read these verses again, get us back up to speed, and then give you the message here. He says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory." Let's pray. Father, I come before Your throne of grace. Thank You for letting us be in Your house again. And Lord, we just want to praise You one more time for loving us like You have and being so good to us. Lord, we can never praise You enough. Lord, we can never glorify You enough and worship You enough. Lord, we can never honor You enough. And Lord, we just thank You for being so good to us and loving us like You have. Lord, we thank You for giving us a Bible. And Lord, giving us a church to come to. And Lord, giving us, Lord, Your people to fellowship with and to draw strength from. And Lord, just the Holy Spirit in our heart, Lord, we thank You, Lord, for that sealing work, that securing work of the Holy Spirit that we've dealt with today. And Lord, thank You that when we've not been faithful to You, You've been faithful to us. And Lord, You've kept us. And Lord, I thank You for that. And Lord, I pray that You would help us tonight as we try to preach the Word of God. Lord, that You would give us liberty. Lord, I pray that You would give us power and unction, give us what it takes, Lord, to preach the Word of God. And Lord, we know that Your word will not return void. So, Lord, I pray that it would find good ground in our hearts this evening. I pray, Lord, that You would help us to truly hear the Word of God, receive the Word of God, embrace truth. And, Lord, that You would help us to receive it in spite of ourselves. And, Lord, we'll give You all the praise, honor, and glory for what You do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And amen. All right, so this morning we began talking about looking at this work of the Holy Spirit, this securing work of the Holy Spirit, and dealt really with the fact that when we get saved, when somebody gets saved by the grace of God, they are then sealed for eternity, and so they're sealed unto the day of redemption, and thank God for that. Amen. I don't know about you, but I get like the children of Israel sometimes, man. If you're not careful, things get a little hard in your life, and you go to looking back and thinking, man, it looked like it was better back then. We get that grass is always greener mentality. And that's how God's people can be a lot of times, and that's how the children of Israel were when God got them out of Egypt, brought them through the Red Sea, and then closed it up behind them, sealing them in. See, if God hadn't sealed them out there, they might would have gone back, you know. They got to looking back and said, things are tough here, and The devil gets you to thinking, the flesh gets you to thinking things are so much easier. Well, the truth is it wasn't. It wasn't easier in Egypt on them. They were getting beat every day and getting driven by slave drivers every day. Things weren't easier back then, but the devil gets you thinking that. Amen? And things in your life were not easier back in the world. Things were never easier, never better when you were living for the world, living for the devil, and they never will be. And if you think that's the case and you try it, you'll find out things will not get any easier. They'll get harder and harder and harder. Amen. And so thank God that He has sealed us. And thank God that when we decide to follow Jesus, there's no turning back, no turning back. Amen. And so thank God for the sealing, securing work of the Holy Spirit. But there are prerequisites to that. That's what we looked at this morning, the prerequisites, and he deals with that here. Looked at that process of salvation, the process of the prerequisites there, and looked mainly at the fact that one must first hear the truth. That's what he said in verse 13, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard. And so one must hear, one must receive and embrace truth. You can't argue, you can't have the idea that you're going to argue and be set in the position that you're going to argue against everything the Bible says and be saved at the same time. It's just not going to happen. You're going to have to come to a point in life where you embrace truth. Whenever they talk about receiving Jesus into your heart, I always was real confused about that as a kid coming up. Like, what's that really mean? What's it mean to receive Jesus into your heart, you know, and all that stuff? And that becomes such kind of a phrase that people talk around, you know, and toss around and talk about, you know. But really, what I think people mean when they're saying, I don't really say that, to be honest with you, but what I think people mean when they say that, what I think they mean is receiving and embracing Christ as the Lord, as the Savior. It deals with receiving and embracing truth. And again, that thing of taking sides with God against yourself, taking sides with truth against everything you believe right now. Everything I believe, everything I've ever been taught, I'm going to take sides with God and embrace truth against that. Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen? And that's what hearing is. You can hear without hearing. To really hear, to Bible hear, you embrace. You give audience to and you listen and you obey the truth that you're hearing. And so, in terms of the process, the prerequisites to salvation, the prerequisites to eternal life is a process, and it begins first with hearing. You must hear, but then he said you must hear. He said after that, or in whom also you trusted, after that ye heard the word. Now, not just the word, not just any word, but the word of truth. That is the pure word. Now, best I can tell, there's only one truth. There's not many different truths out there. This liberal philosophy of relativism and what's true for me may be a different truth for you, and the way you feel about it may be different from me, but we're both right, and there's many different roads of truth, but they all wind up at the same place. Listen, you're not going to find that in the Word of God. Amen? There is one truth, one pure truth, one complete truth. Amen? And that's what he said. He didn't just say, hear the Word, because the Word may have been any word. Could have been any word, anybody's word. He said the word of truth. Do you know that I am more interested in truth in regards to my ministry and our church and what we do here and what we promote and what we preach and what we do on the street and what we do in public life? I am more interested in truth than I am anything else. Anything else. Before anything else, I want truth. Amen? Hey, listen, I want a good spirit in the church, don't you? I want us to have a good spirit, a loving spirit, a joyful spirit, a peaceful spirit, an embracing the world spirit. I want people to come and be able to sense the presence of God, the spirit of the thing. Amen? But you know what I want more than that? More than that, I want truth. Amen? Because some have got the spirit, but they don't have the truth. I want enthusiasm. I want all of us to be enthusiastic about serving God. I want us to be enthusiastic about what we do for God. I want us to be enthusiastic in our worship and in our praise and in our service and all those things. I want enthusiasm. Amen. But do you know what I want more than enthusiasm? I want truth. Amen. Nothing in the world matters if you have not got truth. Amen. And there's only one truth. There's only one. You cannot change truth. So he didn't say just say the word. He said the pure word. Now turn over to 1 Peter. Turn over to 1 Peter. Now this is why I'm about to show you why truth is so important. Okay? I'm going to show you why truth is so important. I'm also going to show you why there's a church on every corner in the South and in a lot of places in America. And yet, in the places where there's more churches than anywhere else, the society and the community in those areas are not getting better, they're getting worse. I'm going to show you why right now. As religious as America is, you'd think if religion was all there was to it, if being religious made a good person, if having Baptist on the church side made a church a good church, you'd think that America would be going in the right direction. But we're not going in the right direction, are we? And we've got more churches today than we've ever had, and they're popping up every week. More churches are popping up. I'm going to show you why right here. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 22, he says this. 1 Peter 1, verse 22, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the what? The truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Now, we're going to get into that next verse in just a second, but I want to say this. In regards to verse 22, look how closely tied the truth and the Spirit are. Ye have purified your souls. So there's how do you purify your soul? How do you purify your soul? He says it. In obeying the truth. In obeying the truth, how do you obey the truth? You obey the truth through the Spirit. That's what he said right there. And that's not a little S, that's a capital S. You purify your soul with the truth. And you receive the truth through the Spirit. With the Spirit. Capital S Spirit. The Holy Spirit. In other words, the Spirit has got to join itself to that truth. Isn't that right? The Spirit and the truth work together. Alright? So somebody may say, well, this new version, the NIV or some other version, it's got enough truth in it that somebody can get saved. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Because the Spirit has got to be in it, and the Spirit does not join itself and get behind corruptible seed. It only joins itself to incorruptible seed. And that's what he says in the next verse. Look in verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. He says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Let me tell you something. There is something behind all these new versions of the Bible coming out all the time. Now, they'll say, what does it really matter? It doesn't really matter. Like, it's not a big deal. Why does it really matter? Why would you make such a fuss over the Bible? Well, let me ask you. If it doesn't really matter, then why are they making all these different versions? Why don't they just wash their hands with it and go on and quit? If it really doesn't matter, I tell you something. It matters to somebody. It matters to the devil. The devil wants to water down the word of truth and change the word of truth. He wants to change the truth of God into a lie like they did in Romans chapter 1 because he knows that whenever you take the incorruptible seed of the word of God and you corrupt it with the wisdom of man, the Spirit will not work through it and people will not get saved and born again into the family of God with it. Amen. That's it. There's no faith. And so that's why we've got churches on every corner and all different kind of modern perverted Bibles being preached, but our society is not getting better. We're sinking deeper and deeper and deeper into the gutter. We're getting worse and worse and worse with more and more and more religion. They're both growing at the same time. And that's exactly why. Because the Spirit of God is not in it because they do not have truth. Amen? Now, the next time somebody tells you, now you get these real theological, you know, they're so brilliant, you know, they're smarter than God, you know. And they say, well, there's no way to translate from one language into another language without losing some of the words and losing some of the information. There's no way to do that. Well, my Bible tells me in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 25, that the word of the Lord endureth forever. So is it enduring forever or is it not enduring forever? Which is it? Which is it? Is it enduring forever? Is forever thy word settled in heaven, or is it not forever settled in heaven? When Jesus said that heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away, and did he lie or did he tell the truth? Is it going to pass away or is it not passing away? Because here's the question. How much truth must you take away from truth for truth to become untrue? How much truth you got to take away from truth for truth to become untrue? That's exactly right. Let me ask you this. How much untruth must you add to truth to make truth untrue? As far as I'm concerned, if you take any of it away, it's not the same. If you add anything to it, it's not the same. It might be mostly the same, and it might be almost the same, but it's not the same. Talking about the prerequisites to salvation. Somewhere down the road, somebody's going to have to hear. And what are they going to have to hear? They're going to have to hear the word of truth. Amen? Now, they may hear it, and that seed might be planted somewhere along the road of their life, and they not get saved for many, many years. And there may not be a King James Bible in 1,000 miles when they get saved, but somewhere down the road, that seed has been planted in their life. It's going to have to be. I mean, that's just what the book says. Don't get mad at me. I didn't write it, man. That's just what he said. After that, ye heard the word of truth. And so it's not just the word, it's the word of truth. It's the pure, unadulterated word of God. It is the King James Bible for English-speaking people. Amen? That's what it is. And so he says, after that, ye heard the word of truth. But then he talks about the word of truth. He says, the gospel of your salvation. After that, you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So, the gospel means good news. So, you heard the word of truth, the gospel, the good news of your salvation. You heard the word of truth, the good news of your salvation. So, truth brings about salvation. Truth is also good news to somebody who's seeking salvation. And that tells us a lot about people, don't it? When the truth is not good news to somebody, there's something bad wrong. Because he calls the truth, the word of truth, he calls it the gospel of your salvation. The good news of your salvation. It'll bring about soul salvation in your life. It becomes good news to you. The truth does. But the truth is good news to someone seeking salvation. It is bad news to somebody who's not seeking salvation. It's amazing how many people, whenever they get in a tough spot and they want some help, they'll be crying out to Jesus, but once they start finding out who the real Jesus of the Bible is, they're not as interested anymore. They want to get out of that tight spot they're in. They want to get their wife back, get their husband back, put their home back together, and then once it is, they're right back out where they used to be. They've gone out and made their life a mess and wrecked with sin, and then they'll come to God thinking He's going to bail them out. And when things get a little bit better in their life, they get that faraway look in their eye and they're right back out where they used to be. Amen? It reminds me of that those different hearts that we talked about this morning. There was Matthew 13, the stony heart, and that's that heart that with Ann and with joy receives the word, but by and by, whenever the cares of this life, whenever the hard times come, whenever the sun gets hot and the winter gets cold and the preaching gets tight and the truth gets on a spot where they're a little shallow at, you know, they get offended at the word, the Bible says. Amen. They're offended at the word. And so truth is not good news to people that don't want truth. Amen? And if you don't believe me, just go talk to somebody out on the street that has not embraced truth. Listen, truth is treason today. It ain't going to be long before a church like this. Now, by the way, as long as we're sitting in here, they'll be fine with it. But you let us get out there on the street like we've been doing and get to trying to reach people like we've been doing, it won't be long for a church like this standing for truth. Hey, they'll label us a terrorist organization. They'll say we're an extreme right-wing terrorist organization, and there's no telling what these people might do. Why? Not because of anything other than the truth, man. The truth is an offense. The gospel is an offense to people. Amen. And so the gospel of your truth is good news to anyone seeking salvation. You get to seek it. Blessed is he which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Start seeking righteousness. He said, blessed are they because they shall be filled. You get to hungering and seeking after truth. God will make sure you find it. Amen. He'll make sure you find it. So it becomes good news to someone seeking salvation. But not only does it become good news to that person when it's received and embraced and the Lord, you get born again, you know, through the truth. Not only does it become good news, but it stays good news to you. Amen. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I want to show you a couple of verses over here that are pretty well-known verses, but I want to read them to you. I want you to see them. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. This is why when we preach, we're not looking for anything new. We're not looking for, you know, I'm not interested in preaching current events and all that stuff. I might reference something up, but we're not here to preach current events and politics and all that. I mean, I'm not interested in all that stuff. And this is why right here. This is why. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 17, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach what? Preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." In other words, Paul said, I'm not trying to use all this psychology and convince people and all that stuff. Listen, because if I can convince people and to get to do something because I want them to do it, the cross of Christ is none effect. That's what the cross is all about. Jesus does the work in them. He called me just to preach the gospel. We get so caught up, man, in trying to make sure we're dotting every I and crossing every T and we're dealing with everybody just right, and we feel like a big failure if we don't convert them to our way of thinking. Man, we got to get past that. Forget about that. God didn't call us to convert people. He converts them. You and me, just preach the gospel, buddy. Just put it out there. Just sow the seed. Look, if you can't tell me anything else, just say, listen, this is what Jesus did for me. Let me tell you what Jesus did in my life. And just tell them how you got saved. Just tell them how you got saved, man. Just preach the gospel, not in the wisdom of the words of men, and let the cross of Christ do the rest. Amen? And so verse 18. He said, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness." I know that there's so many people that think when we go out on the street and whatever, they think it's foolish. There's probably preachers around here that think it's so foolish. Like there's nothing in that. They'll never see results from that. Well, maybe we will, maybe we don't, maybe we won't. But, you know, they think preaching's foolish and all that stuff is foolishness. And it is foolishness. That's right. Amen. We laid up treasures in heaven, not on earth. Amen. And by the way, preaching is foolishness. Even God said it was foolishness. He chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Amen. But Paul said, "For the preaching of the cross is them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." That's why we're not worried about current events. And that's why we're not telling jokes. And that's why we're not preaching stories and giving you emotional, stories and all that stuff to giving you a real tear jerker. They tell these stories. They say, well, there wasn't a dry eye in the place. Listen, that's a bunch of junk, man. I'm interested in this book. We're interested in this word because this word, it becomes the gospel. It becomes good news. Truth becomes good news to the seeking heart. And then once you get saved, once you get in, it stays good news to your heart. Amen? There is nothing I love more than to hear a man rear back and take a King James Bible and rear back and just give the truth of the Word of God. Amen? And you can preach it tighter than I love it, but you will never preach it tighter than I like it. Amen? Just rear back and preach that Bible because it's the power of God to my soul. It does something in me and stirs me up on the inside and makes me want to do something for God. Amen? Amen. It's the power of God for those that are saved to hear the preaching of the cross. It's the power of God for us to preach the preaching of the cross. Amen. It's just the power of God as God's people. You and me live and die on Bible preaching. Amen. And I do believe this. I do believe that a lot of Christians are not as excited and haven't have as much zeal concerning the things of God that they could have because they don't listen to enough preaching and they don't do enough preaching. They don't listen to enough and they don't do enough. You know what you ought to do? You ought to turn off that wicked country music station in your car and get you some preaching CDs to keep in your car listening all the time. That'll keep you charged up, buddy. Amen. And every opportunity you get, you ought to be preaching the gospel to somebody. That'll charge you up, buddy. Amen? You say, well, I don't ever have an opportunity. There's never a door open. Well, first of all, get to praying for an open door. Pray God will put you in contact with somebody that you can give the gospel to. You can tell them what Jesus did in your life and how you got saved. Number two, you just want a good practical way? Wear them Jesus Saves shirts. That'll open a lot of doors for you. Amen? People say, I noticed your shirt and I heard this song the other day and I thought about, you know, all this weird stuff. And you go, well, listen, let me just help you here, you know. They'll start coming to you. You ain't got to go to them. Amen. It is amazing that how just the name of Jesus has such a draw to people. Even people that are confused and mixed up, messed up, man. It has such a draw to people. You know, that's what he said. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. I'm just saying, man, you could have a lot more enthusiasm. We could have a lot more zeal. Nothing charges me up more than being out serving the Lord, giving out gospel tracts and holding the scripture sign. I don't care if people are laughing at me and all that stuff. I don't feel like it in my flesh before I go. I don't even always feel like preaching in my flesh, but something somewhere along the way. Man, whenever I get to doing it and I get to serve and I just lay this flesh aside and just do what God wants me to do anyways, something down in me gets to stirring. That power of God gets to moving. And before long, I'm thinking, man, I can do this all day long, buddy. Amen. It's the power of God to us. And so the truth becomes good news to the seeking heart for salvation, but when you get born again, it stays good news to you. It's good news then. It continues to be good news. It's the power of God within you. And so, the prerequisites, you must hear the word of truth, and then the truth becomes the gospel of your salvation. But then, not only do we see the process, but then the person in the prerequisite. He said in verse 13, in whom he also trusted. After that, these things happen. So the process is all these things happen. You hear the word of truth, but then you believe, you trust in Him. Because here's the thing. Hearing the word of truth is all about revealing Christ. It's all about the person. We don't want the truth just for the truth's sake. We want it to reveal the person. That's what it's all about. It's all about the person in it. The process points us to the person. And so whenever we get real truth, it'll reveal the right person. And that's what it's all about. So hearing the word of truth is about revealing Christ to us. Listen, we trust Jesus. We believe Jesus. We preach Jesus. We promote Jesus. We follow Jesus. We're disciples of Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Everything we do is because of Jesus and for of Jesus. And if it's not, we've missed it. If our salvation and our service and everything we do in our Christian life doesn't start with Jesus and end with Jesus, we missed it. It's all about Him, praise God. He is the person. It's about in whom ye trusted. Not what you trusted, but in whom ye trusted. That truth will point you to the person that you need, and that person is Christ. You know the right way to read your Bible? The right way to read the Bible is not so you know more of the Bible. It's so that you know more of Jesus. So you know how He thought, so that you can think the way He thought. So you know that He said, and know the things that He said, and that the ways that He responded, so that you'll know the things to say and the ways to respond. So you know that the way He walked, so that you'll know how you should walk. And by the way, every page of that Bible speaks of Jesus. Amen? It's all about Jesus. And so everything points to Him. Listen, God the Father points to Jesus. Did you know that? God the Father points to Jesus. Matthew 17:5, the Mount of Transfiguration, that cloud overshadowed, and there was thunderings and lightnings and all that thing, and that voice came out of heaven, and that voice said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." In other words, it's all about Him. Don't listen to me, the Father said. Listen to Him. Hear what He has to say. Amen? The Holy Spirit did the same thing. Turn over to John chapter 16. Look in John 16. If you dare, say amen. All right. John chapter 16, look in verse number 12. You got a red letter edition. These words are red. These are the words of Jesus. He's speaking here, and He says in verse 12, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now." Jesus wanted to teach them and tell them a lot of things, but they just couldn't receive it right then. They couldn't bear it, He said. But He goes on in verse 13, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all" what? "All truth." Amen. "For He shall not speak of Himself." Now that's really interesting, considering that there's denominations out there that major on the Holy Spirit. It's all about the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost and getting the gift of the Holy Ghost and the evidence of the Holy Ghost. It's all about the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost isn't even interested in you promoting Him. He said He's not going to speak of Himself. He said, "But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine. Therefore said I, that He shall take of Mine, and shall show it unto you." Jesus says He's going to show you the things concerning Me. He's going to point you to Me. Amen? He's not going to pump up and promote Himself. He's not going to be the star of the show. Oh, He's the star of the show in a lot of churches now. But the Holy Ghost was... Jesus said, never said He's going to be the star of the show. That lets me know that there's a Spirit there, but it's not the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's why that stuff is so dangerous, man. People get to wallowing around the floor and flopping around, foaming at the mouth, and speaking all this gibberish and all this weirdness. Listen, there's a Spirit in that a lot of times. There is, but it ain't the Holy Spirit. Amen. There is. That's right. "Try the spirits," He said. There are spirits, and there is Spirit in that, but it's not the Holy Spirit. Listen, you telling me that you think the devil's done all these things, all these thousands of years of human history, and he ain't figured out yet that he can give somebody a religious experience to deceive them? Amen. I mean, he don't care if they're naming the name of Christ. That don't matter. As long as they're all messed up and everything, he don't care. He is so subtle. And there is nothing beneath him. Yeah, he'll slip into a church. Matter of fact, that's where his primary work is at, in the church. Back before the cross, he ran this thing with a rod of iron. He ruled men. I mean, with force, with brute force. He controlled men. You even see that in Christ's day. All them people that had those devils wallowing in the fire and all that stuff. Man, he with brute force, he ruled people. But Jesus got victory over him at the cross, at the resurrection, whenever He rose from the dead and He took captivity captive, and he overcame all that. So the devil, he really can't do that anymore like he used to. He can control people that give enough control to Him, but He can't just run with brute force like He used to. Jesus overcame all that. He said, I've overcome the world. Amen. What the devil has done now is since he can't do it the way he used to, he's transformed himself into an angel of light. And now his work is in the religion business. Deceiving men. Deceiving. And that they would be deceived and that they would deceive others. And that is his subtle work now. And he'll give somebody a religious experience. You can't argue with somebody's experience. I have no doubt that a lot of these people that talk about their experience actually had their experience. I don't think they're lying. I think a lot of them are telling the truth. But the Holy Spirit didn't give it to them. It was from a spirit, but it wasn't the Holy Spirit. Why? You say, well, how do you know that? Because I got a Bible. Peter said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Even if an angel, an angel or a spirit directly from heaven or Jesus himself, we thought it was, standing right here, told us something, we would have a more sure word of prophecy right here in this Bible. Amen. Amen. I know because I've got a Bible. I just believe the Bible, don't you? I mean, I just believe what it says. Amen. And so that it points us to the person. So the Holy Spirit, God the Father, points us to the person of Christ. The Holy Spirit will speak of Christ and point us to Christ. The Word of God points us to Christ. Amen. In Luke chapter 24, verse 27, I'll just read it to you. Jesus is on the road to Emmaus with the disciples, and it says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets. That's the Old Testament there, right? He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. The scriptures will point you to Christ. Point you to Jesus. Amen. Turn over to, you're in 1 Corinthians there. Turn over just maybe one page to chapter 2. You're in 1 Corinthians 1. Maybe, hopefully still there. But either way, turn over to, that's right, we turned to John, didn't we? I'm sorry. Either way, turn to 1 Corinthians 2. We were in 1 Corinthians 1 a minute ago, but turn back, 1 Corinthians 2. So the God the Father speaks of Christ, points to Christ. The Holy Spirit points to Christ. The Word of God points to Christ. God's people ought to be pointing to Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Again, that's why we are interested in preaching this Bible. I know I'm not the most dynamic preacher you've ever heard, and I know I don't captivate people, and I don't keep their attention for a long period of time, but I do know this. I strive to give you the Bible, friend, because if you're standing in the wisdom of men, that's what Paul just said. He said, if your faith stands in the wisdom of men, if it stands in emotional stories, if it stands in giving you something that stirs you up and works you down an aisle and gets you to make a decision and gets you to stand up before the church crying crocodile tears saying, I'm going to do all this for Jesus, but then that's all you get. If it stands in that stuff, it will not last. It will not last. Your faith has got to stand in the power of God. And that power, the truth, all those things, they all point towards Jesus. He said, I didn't come in the wisdom of men. I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen. And that's what we all ought to determine to know. Amen. Say, well, man, people just aren't getting it in this day. Well, that's fine, man. We're not told to make them get it. Get filled up with the Holy Ghost. Get filled up with the power of God. Pray and read your Bible and go out and give the gospel to somebody and let Jesus do the work. Amen? Because if we convince them, it wouldn't last anyways. He's got to be the one convincing them. We just point to Jesus. We point to Christ, to the truth. And so there's the process of salvation, the person of salvation. Those are the prerequisites. But let me give you this very quickly. Back in Ephesians chapter 1. Back in our text, Ephesians chapter 1. He says, "In whom also ye trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." That seal there. So after you've heard the word of truth, embraced the word of truth, trusted in Christ, he said after that, he said you believe on him. Once you've believed, he said, then you're sealed. So those are the prerequisites. All that's got to take place first. You don't just get eternal life just because you say, I believe in Jesus. There's some things that's got to take place. You've got to be born again. Amen? Once those things take place, once you get born again, saved by the grace and quickened by the Spirit of God, he then gives you the promise of forever. He says you're sealed. Now, a seal, that is to be marked or stamped or branded showing ownership is what that is. Christ has branded us. You know one thing about a brand? Or the Holy Spirit's branded us. Christ has sent the Holy Spirit to brand us, to seal us. What's interesting about a seal? I was thinking about whenever they brand cattle. They put that seal on them. You know one reason they put that seal on? So you can see the seal. You can see the brand. You know whose they are. In other words, it's something you can look at and pretty easily determine who they belong to. And boy, it's a sad day in America whenever most self-professing Christians, you can't look at them and look at their life and pretty easily tell who they belong to. I mean, you can't figure it out. Amen? It's a sad day in America because that's what the Holy Spirit, that's one of the works of the Holy Spirit. Is to brand and to seal, to be sure that we are His and everybody knows it and we're not getting away from it. He owns us now. He is bought and paid for us now. Now He says in verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance. So the Holy Spirit, we believe on Christ, and so Christ sends the Holy Spirit to be the earnest. That is the down payment, the earnest money. And it's the earnest for our inheritance. See, we've got that inheritance to come that we just preached on here not long ago. There's an inheritance coming. He's preparing a place for us. And while we wait for that all to come to pass, He puts a mark of ownership on us and so that the world knows who we are and to make sure that we know whose we are and make sure we don't get away from Him. He has bought and paid for us and sealed us unto the day of redemption. Praise God, whenever you're not faithful and I'm not faithful and we don't live the way we should and do all the things we should, we're still His at the end of the day. Amen? He has sealed us. He said, until the redemption of the purchased possession. Isn't it kind of a ridiculous thing to think that is that something that Jesus values so highly that He would redeem us. I mean, He values it so highly that He redeemed us with His own precious blood. That's a high price to pay, buddy. Something that He values so highly and loves and cares about so much to think that there's some way that God could lose you or lose me when you've been bought and paid for. Amen. I have this watch right here that my wife bought me, I don't remember, Christmas or birthday or anniversary or something. Christmas, I think. Bought me this watch. And I like this watch. And, I mean, it's not like any like crazy expensive watch, but I like it. I like it mostly because my wife gave it to me. I like my watch here. Well, I got back into deer hunting last year. But I didn't want to wear this watch deer hunting. Because I like this watch. I didn't pay for this watch personally, but I value this watch. I guess in a way I did pay for it. Look at the ring on her finger, and you'll see. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Praise God. I paid for this thing, buddy. Still paying for it. Amen. I was thinking about that earnest. The Holy Spirit is our earnest, you know. And it's kind of like a man gets engaged, you know, and he puts a ring on a girl's finger, an engagement ring, right? I think somebody might say, well, you know, an engagement ring and a down payment is not the same thing. You go buy one and tell me it's not a down payment. Be a good down payment on a house or something, maybe. You never know. Anyways, I've got this watch here, and I like this watch. And I kind of got into deer hunting again last year, and hadn't been hunting in a long time. But I've got this watch, and I've got, I think, two or three other watches she's bought me. She's bought me a few watches. But I didn't want to wear any of those watches. Now, none of them are super valuable. I mean, it's by the world standards, but my wife, they're valuable to me, you know. And I don't want to get them all scratched up and get them all messed up and all that stuff. So I didn't want to use those watches, but I needed something to tell the time when I was deer out in the woods, deer, or even just working and stuff like that, working out in the yard, things like that. I needed something. So you know what I did? I went to Walmart. And I found the plainest, cheapest watch that they had. I think I gave less than $10, like $8 or something. You know, just this cheap watch. And that's what I wear out in the woods. I don't care if I lose that watch. I don't care if it breaks. I don't care if it gets tore up. I don't care if it gets scratched up. I don't care, man. Because that watch is not very valuable to me. But whenever I go away, I may not always have this watch on my wrist. And I may not always have it with me, physically speaking. I may not always have it everywhere, but I always make sure this watch goes in its place where I know it's at, and I make sure I don't wear it where it's going to get messed up. Why? Because I value this watch. This watch is mine. It is owned by me. And I don't want to lose this watch. Amen? I don't leave it out where the boys can play with it. I put it in my watch box where I know where it will be. Amen? Because I value this watch. Now, at the end of the day, I'm human and I could lose that thing. As much as I care about it and as much as I don't want to lose it and mess it up, I could. But the thing is, when we value something, we make sure we're not going to lose it. We're going to make sure we know where it's at. We're going to make sure we've got it. And buddy, whenever Jesus bought us, and whenever Jesus put His value on us, and whenever Jesus turned His heart to us and favored us and cared about us, He did something in us to make sure He would never lose us, to make sure He would ever misplace us, because He loves us and He values us very, very highly. And it is absolutely ridiculous to think about the God of heaven losing something that He values so much. Amen? And so, He said, until the redemption of the purchased possession. Very quick, let me give you this. That's the promise of forever. He said, you're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. But then, very quickly, last of all, the praise in forever. He says in verse 14, unto the praise of His glory. That is the third time in this section that phrase is used. Unto the praise of His glory, or unto the praise of His glory, or the glory. It's used in verse 6. He said, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Verse number 12, He said that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. And then right here, He says, to the praise of His glory. We praise the glory of Christ because of the work of the Holy Spirit. Being sealed under the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit is not about having a license to sin so we can glory in the flesh and glory in sin and glory in this life and do whatever we want to do here. That's not what it's about. It's under the praise of His glory. It's about glorifying Him. See, the Spirit secures the believer safely for eternity. And the security of the believer for eternity glorifies God. Yes, sir. Because it shows the power of God. Yes, sir. It shows whenever we get to heaven and we've lived all of our lives out, as wicked as we are and as fragile as we are, He never lost us in all that. Whenever we get over into glory, all the angels and everyone at the judgment will look and say, boy, nobody could have done that in them and kept them that long except for Jesus. He's the only one that could have done that. It's to the praise of His glory. It doesn't cause us to praise and glorify ourselves or our flesh. It causes us to praise and glorify Him. See, if you could be good enough to get saved or stay saved, it glorify you. At the end of the day, the belief that you can lose your salvation, at the end of the day, that is a works salvation. It is based on how good or how bad you are. And we are not saved by works. To reject the security of the Holy Spirit is to dishonor God and His power and His glory in what He's able to do in us. It puts salvation in the works category and not the grace category. It's all of grace. The same grace that saves you is the same grace that keeps you saved till you get home. Reminds me of that song that the ladies sing. Talk about looking over your shoulder, you're seeing that it was grace the whole time, you know. Grace all the way. And that's the way it's going to be. It's going to be grace all the way. He said, in whom ye also trusted. See, there's no security in anything else except in the right person. And the right person is Christ. If you think electing Donald Trump is going to solve any of our problems, you're badly mistaken. The Lord can use him to give us a space of grace, and I pray He does. I really do. But if we think we're going to elect a certain official and then suddenly get the power of God back in the church, it ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. It's not going to solve anything. We might get a space, but the security and the power, it's in the right person. That's Christ. Anyone that wants security and peace must embrace truth, trust Jesus, repent and believe the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. Amen. And you and me as God's people, thank God we've been sealed on the day of redemption. And may we glorify Him for it. Because it's under the praise of His glory that He's done it. Amen. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, I come before Your throne of grace. I want to thank You for helping us with the Word. Pray that You'll take it and use it. Help us to apply it to our lives. Lord, help us, Lord, to be busy serving You. Lord, help us, Lord, to be what You want us to be. Lord, You've been so good to us. You've blessed us. You've given us the truth, and You've helped us to hear the truth. And Lord, we've trusted in You, and Lord, in doing that, Lord, You've sent us the gift of the Holy Spirit, Lord, sealing us under the day of redemption. And Lord, You've guiding us into all truth and empowering us. All these things, Lord, You've just done so much. We thank You for being so good to us. Thank You for being our God. Help us, Lord, to be what we ought to be. Help us, Lord, to get back to our first love, loving You like we should. And Lord, I pray for that lost soul that might be here tonight, Lord, I pray that they'd hear the truth. They would embrace the truth. And Lord, put their faith and trust in Jesus. Lord, take sides with God against themselves. Lord, repent and believe the gospel tonight. Lord, I pray that You just have Your perfect will and way among us. Bless down the altar call. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.